Okay, the Bible reading today from St. Mark, the 12th chapter. Please stand. And this morning, I want you to read aloud with me. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contribute out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on." And you may be seated. This is the reading for today, okay? The particular part of the gospel. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money to the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." One thing I learned at the seminary was tell the people right away what you're going to say in a nutshell. This is my sermon for today. Say it out loud. The vice of value. Are you pretty happy with what I gave you? Do you know, hold on to your penny. Hold on to your penny. Take it out. Do you know the value the government gives that? They don't, you know, the government isn't too happy with the penny because it costs 2 cents to make it. Do you know that? So the government's like, "Nah, we're thinking about getting rid of it." You knew this, right? Yeah, so, yeah. What's it worth to you? How many of you, if you're walking along and found a penny on the floor, would pick it up for other reasons, you know, just to be a clean person, or like Jan in Greece? Remember Jan in Greece? See a penny, pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck. Remember that? So you're walking along and you see a penny. How many of you would pick it up? I think that's a good question. You know what I spent on this sermon today? $3, yeah, $3. Big deal. The pastor spent a penny on me, right? But what? What if those were $100 bills? What if those were $100 bills? What would you be thinking right now? Would it be something different than you're thinking because it's a penny? Take a moment. Wait, some of you are going, "Yeah, we're waiting on it." Yeah, so it's just a wonderful thing to have pennies. I just love them. They're so valuable. I hoard them. Do you know how at home I have a bucket full of pennies? Not really. A bucket full of quarters, maybe. But pennies, nah. Who cares? Did you know that God holds great value in things that we hold as of little value. That's our vice of value. My purpose today is to show you that the penny you hold will be of great value to you as you leave. It wasn't of much value when you came in, but this thing will be worth more than anything else to you when you leave. Do you believe me? Can I turn this penny into something of highest value? Only if I'm a magician? Got something up my sleeve? No. God's Word will show you how valuable this thing really is. Things of little value. You can see them in the story for is about a penny. That's all she's worth. In Jesus' day, she wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, throughout the Bible in the Old Testament, the number one thing the people to which they were responsible were orphans and widows. I mean, go and look. What does it say? Leviticus, or actually Genesis through Malachi. What are the people first and foremost supposed to take care of in society? Orphans and widows, again and again and again. But here comes a widow, and she's worth only a penny. Poor, poor thing. I actually have sympathy for her. Do you have a little sympathy for her, a poor, poor widow? Come on, show me a little sympathy. How many of you have sympathy for the poor, poor widows out there? Come on, show me your sympathy. See, sympathy without action is really just dead. It's a dead emotion. Oh, I feel sorry for so-and-so. If you don't do anything, it's just a dead emotion. And it ain't worth a penny. Where's the love? Where's the giving? Where's the support? But, and here's a big one. However, how did Jesus value her? Look at everybody. See this widow, as poor as she is. She gave out of her abundance a penny. Look at what high value she is as an illustration to all of us, because she loves God. Do you see the value and how it's kind of upside down in our view, or right side up in God's view? Do you see that? Okay, now take your penny and look at it. Don't look at Lincoln. He's not important. Don't look on the back. I think that, what is that, Lincoln's Monument or something? Don't look at that. I want you to see the poor widow. Will you do that? Look at your penny and see the poor widow, and in your heart have sympathy that's turned into action, because then it'll mean something. Now, what are you worth? Of what value are you? Do you come to church today? Has any of you come to church today feeling like, you know what? I don't have a lot of value. And so you came to church trying to find value in God. You know, you go out there, you're just a number. Remember Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band? I'm just a number, right? Okay, you're not my generation. Anyway, go out there. What are you? You're a social security number. the last four numbers you need to be able to, you know, at the flick of a finger, because nobody's going to do anything for you unless you can give them the last four numbers of your Social Security. You're a Social Security number. You went to vote this past week. What were you? Were you a person or a number? I was a number, right? You stuck it on the old thing. They don't know me. To my bank, I'm an account number. And there's so many numbers in there, I don't even know what they are. But that's how they know me. And those to which I owe money, they call me up and say, you know, you're late in your payment, Mr. 00017023843. You'll never remember that. Right? Of what value are you to the world? And just think, you're standing out there and you're looking up into the universe. You see all the stars and the vastness of the space above you, and you look around and see all this that you see. You're just a little speck of dust to it all. Do you know how many people there are in the world now? 7.7 billion. Of what value are you when it comes to billions? You think people in China care about you? Do you care about them? Do you know anybody? Think about your value. What's it going to mean when you die? Some of you will have a legacy, and people will remember you for 10 years. Maybe if you have a lot of value, 100 years? 1,000 years? I doubt it. We're talking about veterans, the celebration of them. How many of them do you remember by name? But look at the value we place on them, not because of who they were, but because of what they've done. Now, look at the penny again, if you would. At first you saw the widow. Now I want you to see yourself. Oh, you of little value. Okay? The penny that you hold, of what value is it? I'll tell you. You are of worth more value than anything else in all the universe. You are worth of more value than all the numbers anybody out there can assign to you. You are worth the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. To God, there is nothing of higher value than you. I'll count to three. I want you to say your name. Ready? One, two, three. Russell. That's what's of highest value to God. What the world devalues, God values highest. The widow. And now you, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you of little value who sins often and carries the sin within you, could care less about the poor widow, often does not respond because of sympathy. Even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. We always have Jesus to go to in need when we are enveloped by our sin. Think of that. When you look at the penny, God loves me. I don't feel like I've got much value today. I've blown it. People don't care about me. When you're thinking about what's really worthy in the world, look at a penny and say, oh, you of little value. You're of highest value to God. Now we see it one more time. Last but not least, do you see the cross of Christ? Do you see it? Look at it carefully. Look at your penny. Do you see the cross of Christ? All the signs and symbols and everything that of which it reads, even in God we trust. Do you see the cross? Because the world looks at the cross and they see something of little value. It's only worth the wood and the purpose of killing people. That's all the world sees when they see a cross. When people look at the church, what do they see when they're on the outside looking in? They see a bunch of people of little value because all they're doing is following somebody like me politically. I have a political agenda, they think, and I'm in here to get you to see my views. How often am I political? What's my purpose in preaching Sunday in and Sunday out, but to preach to you something of little value to the world? Jesus Christ, his blood shed, his life given, his resurrection. That's what I'm doing here. But the world doesn't see it. It beats up and kills missionaries. It doesn't like us when we witness and evangelize. It turns its back on God in favor of things they think are of higher value. Money, popularity, right? Good looks. Yeah, I got my pink shirt and my silver beard going. Really? We see Christ crucified when we look at the penny. That which the world values least, God values most. If I could, I'd like to read to you just a little story, and you can look this up on the net if you like to read it more thoroughly. The guy's name is James Barnett. James Barnett. You see, he took the penny seriously in a metaphorical way. He spent 2 years sleeping and living with the homeless on the streets by choice. It was the only response he thought he could have because of faith. He says, to me, the only rational response to a God who says, give up everything and follow me, was to give up everything and to follow him. He says, I was raised in the church, but that's where my faith kind of ended. He goes on to say, in my attempt to look like Christ, I failed. James did service work. He went on mission trips. But he couldn't get past this feeling that he felt for those of little value. I wasn't friends with the poor, he said. I knew they were poor, and I knew I was wealthy, but I didn't know them. Not long after graduating from Florida State, James took a job with J.P. Morgan Chase. He was making a six-figure salary, but not happy. That's when he met Mrs. Ruby, who lived among the poor again by choice. She prayed with James. Slowly, James began to feel convicted that there was a difference between what he valued most in life and what God valued. His boss thought him to be a fool, but he quit his job. September of 2009, he puts his belongings up for sale on Craigslist, and whatever didn't sell, he put on his parents' driveway and said, whatever you want to give, give it. He took all the profits that he got from that, and he bought rain ponchos and sleeping bags, and he printed up some T-shirts. And on those T-shirts it said, "Clothe your neighbor as yourself." Clothe your neighbor as yourself. And he went out to sleep and live on the streets of Gainesville, Georgia, or Florida. One day he was out there and it began to rain, and there was a man who was getting soaked, so he gave him a rain poncho. Then the guy got up and he signaled to James. He said, "Come with me, it's time to go." So James was a little nervous, but he got up and went with the man. Man turned around a building and he went into a bathroom. Now James was really nervous, and he went around and he looked into the bathroom, and there he saw a tight-knit group of guys huddling together by the hand dryer. They were keeping warm and drying off their clothing. And he said to James, "This is how we stay warm and dry our socks. I just wanted to help you because you gave me a rain poncho." And James was amazed. By the end of 2010, "Clothe Your Neighbor as Yourself" started to become popular. And more shirts were being sold. James dedicated himself to keeping up the work of getting those T-shirts out there, not by himself, but enlisting volunteers to go out and speak with the homeless, spend time with them, get to know them, and to help them. Today, James lives in a parsonage in Melbourne, Florida, where some 70-plus kids call him their youth pastor. Now, some call him a saint and some call him crazy, but you know what the homeless call him? Everyone that's met him, they call him Butter, Mr. Butter. They do that because he spread his love like butter. Only a penny. Is it worth that more to you now?